This is wonderful. Just have the opportunity to share from the Word with you. It's going to be a little bit, I'm going to be a bit extemporaneous this morning. Rob and George and Kenny and I, as we met, we felt like I needed to kind of tell part of the story of us going from West End Christian Community to being a part of Trinity. And so I'm going to kind of weave my story, our story, together with the story of WEC and the story of Trinity. So I'm going to do a bit of that, but it was kind of cool because as I was reading through Acts 16 in the last month, I was amazed at how much I could relate to the Apostle Paul. So I'm going to kind of weave in and out of Acts 16. So if you want to put your finger there, and then we'll also spend a bit of time in Philippians chapter 2. So let me give you a little bit of a background about Acts 16. The Apostle Paul and his companions in this chapter found themselves at a really interesting crossroads. They had received a really important letter, what's called the Council of Jerusalem. What happened at the Council of Jerusalem is that they were dealing with the issue of the Gentile believers, right? And so they sent this letter out with Paul and his companions, and the first part of their journey is going from church to church, mainly of Jewish believers, explaining to them what's happened with the Gentile believers coming into the kingdom, and then giving them some instructions. And in verse 5, it talks about what happened as a result of them going from church to church, town to town with this letter. It says, so the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in number. So this letter, this journey that they went on had a good effect. There was some really good things that had happened as a result of their journey to deliver this message. This is great. I mean, Paul had this call from Jesus to go to the Gentiles, and as he's going to the mainly Jewish churches, he was well received. And people were encouraged by that message. They were encouraged that the Gentiles were being included in the kingdom. And not only were they encouraged, but they were, you could tell there's some evangelistic zeal going on because their numbers are starting to add. This message has a good effect on the church, and they're growing and they're strengthening, and it's all really good. But Paul is restless. You see, because of this passion for the Gentiles, because of this call to go to the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul is itching to get to this region, certain area where he knows there's lots of Gentiles that haven't heard the gospel. And Paul, you can see this throughout the New Testament, Paul's kind of always champing at the bit to go to the Gentiles, these regions where the Gentiles are. Let's pick it up in verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word of God in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. What? Weird. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. So we can see that the Apostle Paul and his companions make several attempts to get into this region, right? They're trying to get into this area where the Gentiles are, where his heart is, you know, God called him to the Gentiles, right? And so he's trying to follow the call of God, but as he's trying to follow the call of God, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit seems to be doing something inexplicable. Why would the Holy Spirit hinder Paul from doing the very thing that Jesus had called him to, right? Just doesn't seem to make sense. And so you can kind of almost sense this frustration in the Apostle Paul. He tries a couple times. The Holy Spirit's preventing him. There's this kind of frustration. I can kind of relate to that story of Paul. I was relating to it earlier this month because I was reflecting on my own journey. At 19, when I started ministry, I was working for an organization called Living Bible Explorers. We have some LBE folks in the house. What?
So who's that with those kids
Oh, that's me. I'm 19 years old there. You didn't recognize me, really? That's me. I'm 19. I thought I looked the same. No? All right, I'll believe you. During my 8 years at LBE, the Lord just continually grew a passion for the core of Winnipeg. I really felt a genuine call. I know that. I still know that. The Lord was really clear with me. And so, as I worked at LBE, the Lord began to convince me that the church was needed for that call, that my particular call was in church ministry, but here I had this sense of call to doing church ministry, but I felt a call to the core area, and so there was this kind of desire to learn how to do church ministry in a way that would affect the core. And so, in about 1998, I bump into these guys, George, Rob, Giuseppe, and we become a part of this really cool new work called West End Christian Community, and it was an opportunity for me to learn how to do pastoral ministry. And so I ended up leaving LBE with the idea that I wanted to learn to do pastoral ministry in a way that I could apply in the core area. That was the whole, I don't know if you remember that, Rob, but I was very concerned about that. So in 1998, Michelle and I, and I think Sam was born at that point, started coming to West End Christian Community. We were on Aaron Street back in that time. And, oh, look at that. Who's that? Do you recognize that guy? He has hair. That's bad. Rob's changed a lot. Karen hasn't changed a day. I think that's true. But God just planted us in really beautiful community, fertile soil. It was just amazing what the Lord did in us, and it was a place where I could learn to pastor. And Rob was really gracious with me, just giving me all these kinds of opportunities to grow in my giftings and callings, and working alongside George for many years. Those are some of the highlights of my life. We also had our children. Recognize those guys? Yeah. And that's where our kids also learned their spiritual formation, was right here. So we owe a lot to this place. Recognize these two? I know that's JoJo in the middle, but those two bananas are Maggie and Nasia, born a month apart. And so that takes you back. Those were good years. But I have to tell you, like Paul, I was still restless. I was looking into Asia. I was looking towards the core. And Rob and George remember that, probably that angst in me. When, God, are you going to open doors for me to head downtown again? I got fixated, I think, and it led to a lot of frustration. And so like Paul, I made a lot of attempts in my heart and my mind, and I remember when we multiplied congregations, we went through this discernment process, and I remember me going, I'll lead the next congregation. You know, I was ready. This is it. This is, you know, we're going to head downtown. And then it became clear that George was to lead the next congregation. It was really, the Lord made that really clear, and I was like, okay, it's not time. And then we moved to this building. And boy, I kicked up a fuss then as well. But the Lord made it really clear. I mean, I was wanting to head further east, and the Lord was taking us further west. So it felt very much like Paul trying to get into that place of call, but the door just being shut to him. Many times over those years, I was both confronted and comforted by Isaiah 55:8, which says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts," says the Lord. Neither are my ways Your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I wondered, as I was reading the story of Paul, if he was confronted and comforted by those words as well from the prophet Isaiah. Well, let's pick up the story again. Acts 16:9, during the night, Paul has this vision. Okay, so he's kind of trying to get into this province of Asia, and he has this vision. A man from Macedonia, which is in Greece, right, George? Pops up in his dream, his vision, and is like, he says to Paul, come over to Macedonia and help us. It's kind of like Star Wars, the first one with Princess Leia, you know, the... You guys don't know that scene where they're looking at... Yes. Thank you. You got the reference. So at this moment, God throws a total curveball at Paul. He's focused. He's fixated. He's frustrated. What's going on? And he gets this vision and totally changes his direction. That kind of happened to us in 2009. I was in that place of fixation and frustration. And then Rob is actually the culprit. He says to me, you know, would you consider Trinity Baptist? And he had been walking with Trinity, preaching at Trinity. And I was just kind of like, Rob, you know, I'm focused that way. Why would you even suggest something other than, that's kind of how I felt, right? And so I said, because I really love and respect Rob, I said, I'm willing to go preach there. See if it, the Lord does anything in my heart. So we did. I went and preached at Trinity, and there was nothing. I was like, really nice group of people, but there's nothing, nothing kind of leapt out and said, this is the Lord, right? So I came back to Rob and George, and I think before this even, you guys had gone through a process of prayer and you that I didn't even know about, and you guys were thinking this probably was the Lord, but I didn't know, and so I came back and said, no, I don't think so, and you're like, praise the Lord. And then a couple... and then a couple months later, or maybe just a month later, I was coming home from an elders meeting. Many of you have heard this story where I went to put my keys on my key place where I put my keys, and the keys for West End Christian Community dropped off the bottom of my keychain inexplicably. But in that moment, the Lord's presence was there, and the Lord spoke to me very clearly and said, I'm about to move you. And that was just a really intimate and precious moment where I realized God was doing something and so I came back to Rob and George, and they're like, oh, praise the Lord, you know. And then Rob's like, well, the only thing I can see is maybe Trinity. Would you consider going back and preaching there again and seeing if something's changed? And so I said, okay. And I went back, and wouldn't you know, something did change. All of a sudden, my heart had changed. Something in me had changed because the Lord had spoken to me. And this is something I feel we need to remember and we need to learn from. That oftentimes in life, God's purposes and plans seem inexplicable and distant and ununderstandable. But then the Lord says something to us and it brings everything into focus, right? It's so important that we wait on the timing of the Lord for things, right? We don't rush his timing because when he speaks, when he says it's time, everything just comes into focus and it becomes a freedom rather than a burden, right? And so that's what I experienced. All of a sudden, I'm going to Trinity and my heart's open, my mind's open. And God began to speak to us. So there's a long story. Long story short, we go through a process. Rob calls Jake, and Jake says, actually, we're calling a different guy. And Rob's like, praise the Lord, I guess the door is closed. And then we hear the guy said no, and so, oh, the door is open. And we went through this a few times of opening it. And I won't go through all the details of our going. But it was like Paul... The process was like Paul, it says here in Acts 16:9, it says that they had concluded that God had called them to preach the gospel in Macedonia. And that was the conclusion. Unless the Lord makes it clear otherwise, we're going to conclude this is what the Lord's doing until the door shuts. And by the way, we learned another thing during that period of time. I think I'm going to say that later. I just wanted to say this. The Lord was really gracious to us because, you know, we needed some real convincing. And maybe you're in that place in life where maybe the Lord's spoken to you or you think that the Lord's directing you, but you've been set on a course and you don't want to deviate. You need more convincing. Wait on the Lord. Trust in Him. The Lord isn't playing hide-and-go-seek, right? I just remember throughout that whole time, the Lord just was so gracious to give us not just one prophetic indicator, but many. And many of you were a part of those. Carrie had an experience with Michelle where she was like saying goodbye to her and she didn't know why. We hadn't told anybody about what we were discerning. This was very closed in our eldership team. And here Carrie's at a meeting and crying and saying, I'm going to miss you. And she's like, why am I saying that? Remember that? And then we have the stranger approach us at Mission Fest. I'm about to uproot you, he says. And our children coming to peace was a huge indicator for us. Each one of them came to a place where they said, you know, I feel like this is the Lord. So the Lord was gracious. So we concluded that the Lord had called us to Trinity Baptist. We set sail. It was quite a journey. And throughout that process, that scripture in Revelation 3:8 became really clear, where it says, these are the words of Him who's holy and true, who holds the key of David. What He opens, no one can shut. The door He shuts, no one can open. It's actually the other way around in the scripture, but when I look back, I realize that I was trying to open a door that the Lord had shut to me, right? That's what created all that angst in me. I wanted to do this. The Lord's like, nope. I have this for you, right? And in, no matter how many times that door tried to shut, right, Esther? Remember Esther coming up to us one Sunday morning? She had the sense the Lord was opening a door for us. She said, that was the Sunday we had been told, no, you know, we don't feel like you're fit for Trinity Baptist. And Esther says to us, I don't think the Lord's done with you yet. We're like, what does that mean? They just told us. It's like the Lord had His foot in the door and it just kept bouncing open. And we just thank God for His ways. He's trustworthy. Now listen, when things like this happen, when God speaks and prophetic direction happens, I don't know about you, but our expectations were pretty high, right? And I'm pretty sure Paul, setting sail for Macedonia, he's like, all right, help's on its way, right? The Lord's spoken. Well, when he gets to Philippi, he has some initial success. He meets this lady Lydia, she and her whole household. By the way, they're from Thyatira, which is in the very places that Paul tried to enter. That's kind of cool. But it's not long before Paul and Silas are in trouble, right? They get arrested. A whole mob mobs them in Philippi. This is Macedonia. He has this vision. Come and help us. They get there, and they're like mobbing him and throwing him into prison. They beat him. What's up with that, right? Did we hear right? I can only imagine how Paul felt after receiving all that prophetic insight and entering into this next chapter, and all of a sudden they're in jail. Is this really you, Lord? By the way, I'm not alluding that Trinity has mobbed us, beaten us, or rose against us. That is not our experience. You're getting worried where I was going with that. Actually, the opposite has happened. We've been adopted into a wonderful family. And it is rich and fertile soil. But this is, I guess, my point. We did experience sacrifice. I think all of us did, including Trinity Baptist. Trinity Baptist lost people in our coming because it wasn't an easy process. West End Christian Community lost people in our going, dear people. We experienced the cost of following the Lord. There is a cost. And sometimes in the cost, we end up maybe in a situation like Paul and Silas, where like, okay, this doesn't seem, Lord, all this prophetic direction, we're like, you know, this is supposed to be that happy ending, Lord, where, you know, the people and the money all just come flooding in, and right? And rather, I found myself at Trinity going, wow, I don't really actually know what I'm doing. You know, Lord, help me. And there was a lot of prophetic words over Trinity, and I felt like, oh, I'm so inadequate to those things. And I'm like, did I really hear right, Lord? Am I really equipped for this work? And maybe you're in a situation like that where you're wondering, did I hear right? Oftentimes we get to those places in life, right? We come to faith in the Lord. We have all these amazing dreams of what life in Christ is going to be like. And perhaps you can even think in your life of disappointments you're going through right now that you never would have chosen in following the Lord. Maybe some of those costs are in your marriage. Maybe some of those costs are in your family life. Maybe some of those costs are in ministry. But we oftentimes get to a place where we're disillusioned with what we thought things would be like following the Lord. And I have concluded that that is okay. It's okay. In fact, I think Paul and Silas pretty quickly had concluded this was the Lord, right? Because where do you find them in jail? Are they saying, Lord, did we hear right? No, actually, they had a theology that was big enough for suffering, right? They had a theology that included these types of experiences along the way. And so what are they doing in jail? They're praising the Lord. They're singing, they're praying. You don't find them feeling sorry for themselves or angry at God saying, what did you do to us, sending us to Macedonia? I think we've been programmed by happy endings society, guys. I think that's what I'm getting at. And I think we need to come to the point where we realize that following Christ does include periods of suffering and waiting. We need to have a theology that includes that. Amen? So why am I telling you all this? What is the purpose of these stories? Because for Paul, everything in his life was a learning experience. Everything in his life, he compared to the life of Christ. He was walking the cross, the pattern of the cross in his life, right? So everything that was happening to him, he was saying, Jesus has already walked this. The scriptures already speak to this. And so everything in his life, he was comparing to the scriptures, to the life of Christ, and he was like, this is part of it. This is the cost of discipleship. This is what it means to take up my cross and follow Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, this is written 10 to 12 years after Paul is in jail in Philippi. This is, Paul actually is in jail again. He'd kind of made it a bit of a habit, getting arrested and thrown into jail. He's in Rome writing this letter to the Philippians. And this is 10 to 12 years after the church is planted there. And you get a sense in this letter that Paul is writing to a group of people who are starting to lose their focus of why the Lord had done what he had done. There had been some internal squabbles starting, right? There's people fighting with each other in the church. And the sense you get is that Paul's trying to remind them of the very reason that Jesus had planted that church in Philippi. To live a life worthy of the gospel. To shine like stars in the universe as they hold out the word of truth. Let me read chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. It's up on the screen. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, he's reminding them of what it felt like to be united with Christ, the encouragement they had received. If any comfort from his love, he's reminding them as a church of all the comfort they've received from the Lord. If any common sharing in the Spirit, reminding them what the Spirit had done in their midst. If any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You know, something over time, something funny happens. We tend to get a little bit narrower in mind. Because as we have more life, you have more opinions about this is the way God works. Right? Or this is the way God should work. And that happens to us, and that happens to me. But Paul is trying to remind them that it takes a community to discern what God's up to, because we end up getting in ruts of thinking. If Rob hadn't been there to say, "What about Trinity?" I probably wouldn't have considered anything but where I was fixated and frustrated towards. Do you hear that? And so in order for us to be like-minded, we need to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying in the church to one another. We need to open up our hearts to listening to the Lord through one another. That means we need to be open with what we're discerning. We need to be open about the disappointments we're facing. The things that we're disappointed. Lord, I thought you were going to do this. Lord, I thought life would be like this. I'm disappointed. Lord, what are you doing? What do you want to do through this? It takes a community to discern that. There's only a like-mindedness in the church when we're open to hearing what the Spirit is saying to one another. And Paul was reminding the Philippians to do that, to be like-minded. So much of the things that have happened in life and ministry were because the Lord spoke through George, through Rob, through those who loved me, enough to say, actually, it's probably not time for that yet. Because I was willing to listen, I knew they loved me, because I was willing to listen, I was able to hear the voice of the Spirit. Verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Paul tells us in these verses that we should follow the example of Christ. And what is that example? Being willing to be humbled, to do servant work, obeying things we don't really feel like doing. Even to the point of death, Jesus became obedient, even to the point of death. But his obedience led to the glorification of Jesus Christ and the Father. I guess this morning I'm wanting to ask, are we willing to obey like Jesus? Are we willing to embrace humility, taking on the nature of a servant? Are we willing to diminish so that God's plans can flourish? I really believe that this is the example that we went through when we went to Trinity. West End Christian Community diminished in us going. But that is the cross. This is the call to lay our lives down, to deny ourselves, to take up the cross and follow Him. So are we willing to lay down our personal interests and take up that which is beyond us? I think that's what the Lord was trying to teach us. And I want to remind us of that. I need to be reminded of that. Because even as things progress, I end up with new personal interests in mind that the Lord continually is asking me to lay down. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you, like the Philippians, are at the point in your story where you're losing focus, where you need to be reminded of what this leg of your journey, this chapter of your story is for. I just want to encourage you with something. We're still in the middle of our story, right? Paul and Silas may have felt like it was the end of the world being in jail. They'd just been beaten. They were still in the middle of their story. And in that place, what you do in that place is crucial. What decision did they make? They made a decision to trust, which led to worship and praise, which led to an earthquake, which led to the planting of the church in Philippi. And so we need to continue to trust the Lord that in this place of our story, the Lord is moving us forward. Might not feel like it in the moment, continue to trust in the Lord. He's brought us to this place for something, brothers and sisters. I just want to conclude with the scripture from the first chapter of Philippians. And I think that this scripture kind of sums it all up. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We do not hold the blueprints. I think if there's something we as elders of our fellowships have learned, the Lord's taught us, is that we do not hold the blueprints for the future of Trinity Baptist or West End Christian Community. The Lord has not given us some crystal ball. But He's teaching us to trust Him, that He knows. He knows what's in store. And you know what? He wants to weave together our personal stories so that we can truly be a community of Christ. And so your story is being woven together. Our congregation stories have been woven together. We don't have control over what that's going to look like. We don't know. There's no big agenda going on of man. We have no clue what the Lord's up to. We'll admit that freely. Because in admitting that, that gives God an opportunity to do something far beyond us. But I am confident of this, that He who started that work is faithful. Amen? And He will bring it to completion. We don't have to worry about us bringing it to completion. He will bring it to completion. That's what I feel like the Lord has asked me to share with you today.